So we just heard this story of the wedding at Cana in Galilee, and there's a lot that's going on at this wedding in Cana. There's a lot of symbolism in everything there. I mean, there's the six jars, their size, the fact that they're made of stone, the fact that Jesus is at the wedding, that Mary is there too, and what Jesus does there. All of this has meaning. The commentaries that theologians and church fathers have written about each little detail of this wedding, they're long, they're overwhelming, and they're beautiful. But a Catholic, so of course, what do I think of? Well, I think especially of how Mary fits into this picture, right? Because Catholics are all about Mary. She doesn't say a lot, but she's there, and what she does has a big effect. And you know, we Catholics, we tend to direct a lot of attention to Mary. We name our kids after her, or we name our churches after her, and we give her all kinds of titles. Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, for example. Many of you pray the rosary every now and then, and as you do that, you utter 50 short prayers to her. We have statues of her all over the place. Now, non-Catholics, as they look on, I think they probably tend to think that we spend more time focusing on Mary than we should, than we do focusing on her son. Before her conversion to Catholicism, Kimberly Hahn wrote that to her, it seemed as if, as she says, Catholics focused on Mary the way we, Protestants, focused on Jesus. She was the approachable one. You could hide in her skirts rather than face the Father and his anger. Mary was the broad back door into God's favor, while Jesus remained the narrow front door. She found all of this attention that we Catholics pay to Mary, to use her word, to be repugnant. It seems to many as if we've placed Mary on this high pedestal and that we offer her worship there. That, of course, isn't right. We do not, and we must never worship Mary. She's not God, and to worship her would be sinful. It would be seriously sinful. But worshiping Mary, that's not what we Catholics do. It's not what we've ever done. But sadly, I do think that the non-Catholic thinking about Mary has rubbed off on us a bit, especially up in our area of the state here where it's very Lutheran, you know. Many of us, I think, don't understand Mary's proper role in our worship and in our prayer. So we're tempted to give in to that kind of Protestant notion and ignore Mary, just to ignore her. At least I know that was my own experience, right? Even all the way up to the time when I was entering seminary, I wasn't really so sure about all this devotion to Mary. But then, among other things, I closely read through this story of the wedding at Cana. My appreciation then of her started to come to life. Because in this brief story about the wedding at Cana, which John tells so beautifully, we get a little snapshot of Mary's role, of her proper role in the Christian faith. The wine had run out, and that was something terribly embarrassing for this newlywed couple and their families. Mary was there, right? She was helping. That's what she does. And she noticed this situation. And what did she do? She went to her son. This is what she always does. She brings things to her son. She simply informed him of the needs of the people. They have no wine, she says. Jesus, of course, knew that he could solve this problem instantaneously by doing some kind of miracle, but he kind of complains it's not yet the proper time for him to reveal his power in public. But it's his mother she's asking. He loves her deeply, and she's asking him for help. Now, Mary had no doubt that her son would do something. She doesn't tell him what to do, right? She just brings it to him and knows that he's going to take care of it. Without further discussion, though, she turns to the servants who are standing there, and she simply commands them to do whatever he tells you. Right? She commands us to do the same thing too. Do whatever he tells you. That's good advice. So they get the water and so on, bring it to Jesus, and Jesus gets to work, and he performed the first miracle, at least the first public miracle we know about, his turning of water into wine. And not just any wine, but the very best wine. And not just enough to get him through, but like 120 gallons of the best wine. It's just an overwhelming amount. Mary brought the plight of the people to Jesus, and he responded with an overabundance of help. Mary still does this today from her place in heaven with her son. And this is why the Catholic Church calls her by titles like advocate, helper, benefactress, or mediatrix. Now that last one upset some people. It's not as if we're saying Mary is the mediator between God and man. That's only Jesus, right? But mediatrix, it's a word that simply means a woman who's a mediator. And she's a mediator in the same way that I'm a mediator when I pray for you, right? Bringing it to Jesus, that's all it is. Because Mary's not God, she's merely human. But she is, after Jesus, of course, the greatest of humans. She's the one of us who's closest to God. And from there, she continues to do what she did at Cana, to bring us and our needs to her son. Now, of course, a lot of us, even us Catholics, a lot of us kind of wonder, why don't we just go directly to God with our prayers? Why do we need Mary? Well, we can go directly to God, and you should go directly to God, but it's not an either-or thing. It's not like Mary is this barrier between us and God. No, we can go directly to God, but there's a reason we ask Mary and the other saints and each other to pray for one another. As we read in the letter of James, pray for one another that you may be healed. Right there in the letter of James, we're told, pray for each other, right? And he continues, James continues, the fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. So somebody who's righteous, who's very holy, their prayers are very powerful. It says right there in Scripture. And who is more righteous than the Mother of God, who is without sin altogether? Also, as St. Alphonsus Liguori once asked, why do Mary's prayers have such efficacy before God? Why are Mary's prayers so powerful? He answers, the prayers of saints are the prayers of servants, whereas those of Mary are the prayers of a mother, whence they receive their efficacy and authoritative character. As Jesus' love for his mother is limitless, she cannot ask for anything without being heard. So that's why we bring so many of our prayers to Mary. She brings them to her son, and he listens to her. The prayers of Holy Mary, the Mother of God, are very powerful. Now, having said all of that, of course, Catholics should put the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit first. That's what Mary would want, for sure. We should spend time in prayer and conversation with the Holy Trinity, because our primary goal in life is to enjoy God's presence for eternity in heaven. And this is also the Blessed Mother's wish, that we be saints. Thus, she looks down from heaven and she sees all of our struggles, our needs. She knows what it's like. She's one of us. And she hears our petitions. She brings them to Jesus, and he answers them because of his love for her and his love for us. So let us now continue the holy sacrifice of the Mass, wherein we join our Blessed Mother in the worship of her Son in the Blessed Sacrament.